It's your friend John Walden. We're studying in the book of Galatians. And if you have your Bible handy, please turn to the first chapter. And we're going to begin with some of the things that are told us in from verses 12 to 24 of the first chapter. Now, the book of Galatians is divided into three equal parts. The first two chapters give us the personal explanation of the Apostle Paul as to what he stands for. Then the next two chapters, 3 and 4, give us the doctrinal exposition, that is, give us the teaching. And finally, the last two chapters, 5 and 6, give us the practical application of this. So this section is explaining why the Apostle Paul insists that they believe the gospel that he taught and do not turn aside to any other. You see, the legalists, or the law teachers, had come into this area of the country, into Galatia, and were misleading these Galatians. And in order to defend the gospel, the Apostle Paul has to defend his authority as an apostle. And this he does by citing six facts. The first one is that he got the gospel as a special revelation that we saw already. And then he shows that his very education was in opposition to what he was teaching now. So it wasn't something that he was taught from childhood. And then he points out his lack of contact with the other apostles, the 12. And then he says that when he went to Jerusalem, he saw only Peter and John, and that for only 2 weeks. And in the next chapter, he establishes the fact that he was completely independent of any other preachers, and that he even rebuked Peter because he was teaching something that was not right. So he's establishing his apostleship in order that they might be certain about what they believed. In verse 12, he says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now, Paul's background as a Jew was the very opposite of the gospel that he preached to these Galatians. As a Jew, he not only believed in trying to keep the law, which no man has ever kept, but he also believed in the tradition of the elders of the Jewish people, and their religion was very much bound up with all of these traditions. The people who had come to Galatia were trying to get the Christians to see or to think that they had to keep these traditions or else they were not saved. They were trying to turn them back to Judaism. Now he tells us very plainly that he was wrong. This is a hard thing for any man to say, and especially a proud leader. He admitted that he was brought up wrong. He admitted that he had been taught wrongly. And he admitted that he had to change when God revealed something else to him. I wonder, what about you, my friend? You have religion. You have a traditional background. Could it be that you are wrong? And if you see that you're wrong, according to the Word of God, would you be willing to change, as the Apostle Paul was? Or would you say, well, I'm too old to change, or after all, my parents were in this religion? Well, the Apostle Paul had to give up all of this when he accepted Christ as his Savior. And then he said he was very zealous. He was more zealous than any of his peers. You see, zeal is not enough. Romans 10 and verse 2 says that the Jews, and this is true of all religious people without Christ, they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. It isn't enough for you to be in earnest. You must be right, and you can only be right when you square your beliefs with the Word of God. Tradition often contradicts Scripture. The tradition of the Jews did. The tradition of most churches today contradicts the Word of God, and you have to make your choice. Now, in verses 15 and 16, he tells us that God, in his sovereign grace, it pleased God, he said, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen or the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul was called by God's grace. Now, we're told in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you can't say that God has chosen you to be lost. But when anyone is saved, it is all of God's sovereign grace. It's no credit to us. And so the Apostle Paul gives this credit to the Lord's grace. He says that the Lord, from my very birth, had his eye upon me, and his purpose was to reveal his Son in me. Now, he wanted to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to Paul, but he also wanted to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ in Paul. That is, he wanted Paul's life to be such that others would see the Lord Jesus in him. And this should be true of every Christian. Now, but we have a responsibility. We have to answer this call. When you hear verses like Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," what do you do? If you don't come, you can't blame God for it, for the Lord Jesus certainly invites you. Now, he was called by God's grace, not by God's law. God's law puts people away. God's grace calls them to come near. Of course, he had another call later on. He was called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, as he says here. And when the Lord called him to do this, he says, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia." There was no collaboration with others. It was not a matter of finding out what's the popular thing to believe or what does this school of thought believe, but he got alone with God in the wilderness of Arabia. Now, you see, the Bible was not yet complete, so anything that God was going to give to him had to be a direct revelation. Now, you and I have the Bible. Do we take as much time, or do we pay as much attention to finding out what God wants us to know as Paul did? Take time to get alone with God over your Bible. Now, he claimed that the gospel was a revelation from God. He said that in verses 8 and 9. Now, there are many people today that are doing the same thing that these people were cursed for. He said, "Even an angel from heaven, or any man that preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed." Those who pervert or twist the gospel are certainly bringing themselves under the curse of God's wrath. It's a very serious thing to preach anything besides the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as a means of salvation. Now, between verses 20 and 21, we have an elapse of time of approximately 10 years. In verse 20, he says, "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not." That is, I have told you what actually happened. And what actually happened was this. He went into Arabia, then he came back to Damascus, spent 3 years there. After 3 years there, he went up to Jerusalem and met Peter, spent 15 days with him, and didn't see any of the rest of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. He said, "I want you to know that I'm telling you the truth, the strongest possible assertion of truth. Before God I lie not." And then afterwards, he says, "I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ." So the Apostle Paul was one who got his revelation directly from God. Now, this means a great deal to you and me. If the Apostle Paul was just a clever organizer, as some people say, and that he took the teachings of Jesus and made them into an organization, and therefore Christianity is Pauline in its origin, then we have nothing more than the followers of Buddha or Confucius or any of the other world religions. But we believe that God gave the truth of the gospel directly to this man and sent him not only to preach the gospel, but to teach the truth concerning the church, as he says in another epistle. Now, when this was given to him, he said, "I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ," that is, around Jerusalem. Judea was the county, Jerusalem was the capital. "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." Paul's testimony went ahead of him. People heard about him. He had been the foremost leader in the persecution of Christians, so much so that the Christians of Damascus were unwilling to receive him until he was introduced by Barnabas. And now they have heard that he who once destroyed the faith. He even put Christians to death. Now preaches what he destroyed. Isn't this marvelous? The change that takes place when a person really believes the gospel. Now, I don't know how much change will take place when you accept Christ, but I know that some changes will take place. If you have been immoral, God will clean you up. If you have been proud, God will make you humble and more like his son. Now, this doesn't all take place at once. It takes a while for the Lord to make us like himself, but there will be changes if you really receive Christ as your Savior. Notice, at the close of this chapter, he says, and they glorified me. Oh, no, they glorified God in me. All the glory goes to God. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel story. There is no credit to us. He says plainly that no flesh should glory in his presence. We give the Lord Jesus Christ all the glory. We glorify God for the change that is made in one who receives Christ. Our Father, we offer thee our heartfelt thanks for sending us the gospel and for the changes that it has effected in each of our lives. We pray now for all who have heard thy word. We ask thy blessing in the precious name of thy Son. Amen.